It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With us now is Eric Seligman. He is a candidate for House District 83. That's what I thought. He moved to Eastboro, Kansas in 2021. He is a senior product engineering architect for Cadence Design System. And he has, look at this. He's got a BA in mathematics from Princeton. I won't hold that against you. This is, you know, Ivy League guy. A master's of science in computer science from Carnegie Mellon University. Okay. Boy, I'm feeling a little outclassed here with my BA and BS. So it's a political science degree here. We're thrilled to have him with us this evening. Eric, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. So the first question I always ask candidates, why? Why? I mean, you're way too smart to be a politician. So why would you want to throw your hat into this ring?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, back in Oregon where I lived before, talk about a
blue state. My wife was from Oregon. Trust me, I know what you. Yeah, there are a few red pockets, but it's dominated by blue governments. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I fought the good fight over there. I served on the board of one of the state's largest school districts for 4 years, but we could see the writing on the wall. Things are going so far left there. Really, Western civilization has collapsed in the Portland area completely.
Oh, is that where you're from, Portland?
Yeah. Well, I spent the last 30 years or so there. So,
oh, woo.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, when my family and I decided that we had to get out of there. And looking for good places to live, and Kansas seemed like it had a lot of potential. My wife is a manufacturing engineer. She was working at Boeing out there, so of course the airplane stuff naturally attracted us. And the kind of engineering I do, I can do remotely. So
your wife's an engineer, and you're an engineer. You got two smart kids.
One smart kid.
So I'm literally seeing a bunch of intelligence here. Again, why would you want to go into politics?
Yeah, so I got here and, I wasn't planning to get into politics in Kansas, but I was really annoyed when I went in for my first real Kansas election in 2022 and saw that for state rep, there was just one guy on the ballot, a Democrat, who nobody was challenging and nobody had challenged for years.
For those who are aren't familiar with House District 83, that's Henry Helgerson. Nice guy. I served with him. He's a nice guy, but he definitely falls in line. He will do what Laura Kelly tells him to do.
Yeah. And that's not what Kansas needs right now. And seeing that, you know, I was kind of annoyed not to have a choice there. So I started looking into things that Henry's been doing. And, you know, there's a number of votes he's made that I really had problems with, you know. And I think, you know, other than, of course, the fact that he's a loyal Democrat, there were a few specific things this year that bugged me.
So what were the specific things? I can imagine, I mean, some of them. My guess is because he does what he's told, so I'm sure he sustained the vetoes on women and girls sports. I'm sure he's all in on abortion, all the typical social issues, I'm sure.
Yeah, so on the social issues, and the one thing that I think is really at an emergency stage right now is the genital mutilation of children, known as gender-affirming care, to the politically correct. And that's really a crisis stage. If you read it, what's happening there, it's disgusting, like, you know, vivisection level stuff that they're doing to children, permanently destroying their bodies. And there's thousands of kids around Kansas right now who are self-identified as trans who are in danger of having these medical treatments done to them. And of course, there was a bill a few months ago to outlaw that. And, Governor Kelly vetoed it. And again, Henry fell in line with his party and helped sustain that veto.
You know, one of the other things that I think has frustrated across the aisle is the issue of taxes. And I know, you know, Henry has been fiscally conservative, and I think he is. But at the same time, again, when the orders come down, or in this case come up, because the governor's office is on the second floor and the legislature's on the third, when the orders come up from the governor, I'm sure he toes the line. I guarantee you he sustained the vetoes from her when she vetoed the tax bill that would have given Kansans real tax relief.
Yeah. But I want to challenge you a little bit on that. You know, I mean, Henry has this image he's put forth of being fiscally conservative, and it's true compared to other Democrats. He can definitely mark himself as fiscally conservative, but that's
low hanging fruit.
I'm kind of annoyed at the way both parties in Kansas have been discussing the tax issue, because whether you discuss it with a Republican or a Democrat, they bury you in numbers, right? I'll ask a Republican legislator and he'll say, oh, we're going to cut property taxes by X percent, Social Security by Y percent, and dog catcher tax by Z percent. But the Democrats only want to cut dog catcher tax by Z minus one. So therefore we're better. And you can throw all these numbers at people, and what is it measured against? What's the benchmark, right? What you really have to do is look at what's the overall per capita tax burden in Kansas. So if you look at national rankings, for example, the one at wallethub.com, Kansas ranks 12th out of 50 states in overall per capita tax burden, which is insane for a red
state. Too high for a small population,
and,
too.
And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, if you're proposing a set of tax cuts, you should have an objective benchmark. Say, okay, the reason why we want to present this X, Y, and Z percent tax cut is because that will change our overall tax burden to this, which will put us in this position on the benchmark, which is a reasonable place we should be. Right. And I haven't seen an argument like that from anyone on either side. Whichever legislator you talk to, they just bury you in arbitrary numbers that really can't be judged objectively. We need to fix that discussion.
The other thing that we haven't really seen is calls for spending cuts. We've seen a little bit from the leadership this time, and I'm glad to see it. But if we're really going to get to the heart of the problem, right now they're sitting, Laura Kelly's got, what, $3, $4 billion stuffed under her mattress. It's high time they started giving that money back.
Yeah. And actually, there's an important lesson to take here from Oregon, which I saw, you know, collapse, as I mentioned, government-wise. And really what happened there, among many other problems, is that their government employment sort of metastasized. It became a cancer and gets growing and growing and growing. It's a point in Oregon where pretty much the government employees entirely control the government, which, of course, is a situation where you're going to have a disaster. And Kansas, again, surprisingly for a red state, we have way too high a percentage of government employment. I think actually,
it's really high. Elizabeth
from AFP actually published some good articles on that. And that's something that we have to cut. And that's something that we can't waste time and can't just let it slide, because it's a cancer. It grows. It naturally increases and increases. And it's going to reach a certain point where we won't be able to fight it. And Kansas is going to turn into Oregon if we don't cut the percentage of government employment.
But Eric, the Public Employees Union is one of the most powerful ones up in Topeka. They donate to a lot of campaigns. Eric, you mind sticking around? We'll take a quick break and we'll come back.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And when you need to stay informed, you can do so with the free Odyssey app. Just get the best breaking local news coverage from KNSS on the go. Download Odyssey today. Search KNSS to get started. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Alber. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1. Divide the nation philosophically. 2. Foment racial strife. 3. Cause distrust of police authority. 4. Swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5. Engender the military strength to weaken it. 6. Overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. 7. Encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8. Control all balloting. 9. Control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pen a good finish.
With us still is Eric Seligman, candidate for House District 83. So Eric, let's talk some basic GOP, you know, Republican Party principles. Looking at your website, which, by the way, is WichitaEric.com, and that's E-R-I-K. I see you've got Second Amendment is one of the ones that, and I'm somewhat familiar with your district because parts of it were kind of butted up against my old House district. I know, you know, there's a fair amount of your area down there that's pretty pro-life, pro-gun kind of folks. Definitely the pro-gun kind of folks.
Yeah.
And I know the incumbent, I'm sure, is, again, following orders. The Democrats are not very pro-Second Amendment.
Yeah. It's funny because actually when I was on the school board in Oregon, the issue came up that, you know, people talked about school shootings. And the superintendent started this program where he was, like, timing the police response and showing that they could get to any school in the district within 10 minutes.
Yeah, but 10 minutes, and a lot can happen in 10 minutes.
And I said to him, so, well, why don't we just simply pass a policy allowing teachers to carry guns, and that way they'll be able to defend themselves in 0 minutes. And it seemed to make perfect sense to me. And I actually pursued that a little bit. And, of course, the bureaucracy ended up beating me over there in Oregon.
Of course.
They, you know, apparently our insurance company dictated that we not allow any guns in the schools.
Yeah, and that's when you go and get another insurance company. Yeah, we've had that fight here in Kansas. Trust me.
Yep. So that was my big Second Amendment battle that I fought over there. I've been endorsed by the NRA after filling out their questionnaire. I think I'm definitely a pro-Second Amendment guy.
So when you mentioned you a couple times that you served on a school board, what are your thoughts? You know, there have been, I think it's only a matter of time before the state legislature gets sued by the these districts for more taxpayer money. They're going to use taxpayer money to sue the state for more taxpayer money. What are your thoughts on, you know, whether or not the districts are adequately funded and school choice?
Yeah, well, I think school choice is critical. In one way, it's to expose the fact that the districts are overfunded in many ways and just wasteful with the money. So just, again, looking at the example when I was in Oregon, in order to judge how much money a charter school would get, it was some percentage of the so-called per-student spending.
Right, yeah.
And so our district would quote the per-student spending as something like $9,000 a year, and then some percentage of that would go to a charter school if you went to a charter school. But then, of course, being on the board, I could see the whole budget. So I looked at the budget, took the total funds in the budget, divided by the number of students, and I got over $12,000 per student. So I went to our CFO and said, okay, what's going on? He said, oh, well, this money doesn't count because that helps repair buildings. This money doesn't count because it fixes broken windows.
Yeah,
and
still counts.
You know, and it's like, what other business gets to put money in various buckets and say it doesn't count for the purposes of accounting? And so the schools play tricks like this in order to, you know, pay for overinflated costs. And if you look at just the national statistics, you know, the number of bureaucrats in schools, number of diversity officers and extra HR people and all that stuff, just a total waste. If we were able to expand, charter schools and vouchers in Kansas and, you know, let students take a portion of their money with them when they go to a non-traditional public school, then we'll find that the total per student cost will be much cheaper than the current model, which is where the vast majority are in old-fashioned traditional public schools with their wasteful bureaucracies.
Well, and I think we'd also have a better outcome if there was competition injected into the public school systems, and frankly, if more money was finding its way into the classroom. I think you're right. Many of these districts are bloated with massive administrations, and the money's not getting filtered into the classroom, and frankly, into teacher pay, which is where it needs to be.
Yeah, Yeah. And it's, you know, yeah, and I'm just discussing the money since you asked about it. But yeah, in terms of the outcomes, I think competition is even more important for that than it is for the money. If you don't have any competition, there's no incentive to drive up your quality.
So I know you've been door knocking. What are you hearing as you're out there door knocking, talking to folks in the district? What's the number one issue that you're hearing from them?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are concerned about taxes, and especially these days with the Bidenflation, you know, everybody's money is getting tighter and tighter. You know, and the one thing that I think also has a lot of resonance is the discussion of child sex changes. I think right now people just aren't educated enough on the issue. You know, they hear the sort of glossy propaganda from the LGBT advocates. It's like, oh, look, our doctors are so advanced now. They can press a magic button and change a boy to a girl. And
yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Our technology is so good. And, you know, when you learn the details of, you know, no, what you're doing, I don't want to get too graphic on this show, but, you know, you're creating a permanent wound where a bodily organ used to be that you're going to have to treat for the rest of your life. I mean, that stuff is just horrifying that they're, you know, driving kids to do this to themselves when they're too young to decide. And I think people are realizing that. Even, you know, when I knock on the doors of some people who are listed as Democrats and I start discussing this issue and, you know, they open their eyes and realize what's really happening there, you know.
But it's the same thing with protecting the integrity and the sanctity of women's sports. That issue polls upwards of 60s, lower 70%, bipartisan. Even Democrats don't like the idea of biological males competing in women's sports. Yeah. And yet, you know, Henry Helgerson, Laura Kelly, they all voted opposed to that. Laura Kelly vetoed that bill. That's, you know, it shows how out of touch they are with the mainstream on issues like that matter to people.
Yeah.
It really does. Eric, I appreciate you, brother. I know that, you know, folks are interested. They're watching this race. If folks want to help you, if they want to volunteer, or more importantly, if they want to donate, they can find more information at WichitaEric, and that's ERIK.com, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Brother, I wish you all the best. This is one of those seats that I think we have a real chance of swinging from what has been held to, you know, for quite way too long. I'm a fan of term limits. It's high time that we, and I like Henry, nice guy, but it's high time we gave Henry a term limit and let somebody else come in there and bring about a little change to District 83.
I agree.
Wish you the best of luck, my friend. WichitaEric.com.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck, my friend.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.